When tick populations are supposedly rising and a condition like alpha-gal is becoming part of this big conversation, people start asking, like myself, whether this is really just random and just naturally occurring, or is there more to the story? When you start looking into the history of tick research, that is where things get a little more interesting. The government studied ticks and other insects during the Cold War era because insects were understood as vectors. Would you be surprised if I told you that Bill Gates is involved in the research on ticks? What is going on in our environment? Hello, and welcome back to the Gubba Homestead Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. I discuss everything from homesteading to prepping and everything in between. You know, I love a good conspiracy theory, and today's episode is one of those topics that sounds simple at first, but the second you really start looking at it, you realize it opens the door to much bigger questions. We're talking about ticks and why they seem to be exploding right now, why so many people feel like something about this does not add up, and why this conversation has gotten so much deeper than just annoying bugs in the grass, you know, those little creepy crawlies. This is not only about more ticks on your property or your yard. This is not only about pulling them off of your dogs or your kids, your livestock, or yourself after being outside for a short amount of time. This is also about the rise of alpha-gal syndrome, a condition that has made this whole conversation even stranger and more unsettling for people. A tick bite is one thing. A tick bite that can suddenly leave someone reacting to red meat, dairy, gelatin, and other mammal products is something else entirely. So that is where this stops feeling like a seasonal nuisance and starts feeling like a much bigger warning sign, or something else entirely. And before we get into today's episode, I want to thank the sponsor of my podcast, which is my small skincare business, Arvati. One of my favorite products from my shop is the Homestead Tallow Balm. It's a rich, nourishing tallow balm made for people who are tired of harsh, questionable ingredients and want something simple that actually supports their skin. It has thousands of reviews from real people who have shared how much it has helped their skin feel softer, calmer, and more supported, which is still the coolest thing to me. I love reading your reviews and your messages, so thank you. So if you've been wanting a more grounded skincare product to keep on hand, you can check out my Homestead Balm at Arvati.com. So let's dive in. One of the reasons this topic of creepy crawly ticks has caught so much attention is because people from completely different walks of life are all saying the same thing. Farmers are saying tick pressure feels worse than they have ever seen. Supposedly, they're getting boxes of ticks dropped off on their property. Hunters are pulling shocking numbers of ticks off of deer. I even saw a video recently on social media of someone showing a moose just covered in ticks, and they claim they have never seen something like this, and they spend a lot of time out in nature. Families are finding them on kids after being outside for just a few minutes, and people who have lived on the same piece of land for decades are saying this does not feel normal.
I swear, this is a new kind of tick. I've never seen this kind of tick around here.
So that is what gets people talking. It's not one dramatic headline, but the fact that so many ordinary people are independently noticing the same pattern. Something feels off. And when enough people start noticing the same thing at the same time, curiosity naturally turns into questioning. So why are tick populations rising like this? Like, why now? We already have so much going on, and it seems like every year is the worst tick year yet. And why, right alongside this increase, are more people suddenly learning about alpha-gal syndrome? That part is what really grabs people and makes people feel a lot of fear, because Lyme disease is one thing. Most people have at least heard of that, but alpha-gal syndrome sounds almost unreal the first time someone hears about it. A person gets bitten by a tick and later begins reacting to red meat. So sometimes dairy, sometimes gelatin, sometimes other products tied to mammals. Could you imagine how miserable that must be? And people are describing hives, stomach issues, inflammation, heart palpitations, exhaustion, and allergic type reactions that seem to just come out of nowhere. They're not allergic, and then they get bit by a tick, and then they are. And it often doesn't happen immediately after eating whatever it is. So for some people, it takes a while to connect the dots between their tick bite and their new allergy. They just know their body is suddenly reacting differently to foods that they used to tolerate without a problem. So what is going on? I personally don't know anybody who has alpha-gal syndrome yet. It seems like it's on the rise and it's becoming more common. What a weird thing. And I understand why people have so much fear because of that connection that we have to food. Could you imagine one of your main food groups you are all of a sudden allergic to? I know I don't want to become allergic to red meat or dairy because that is such a large portion of what I eat. And if tick populations were simply up just a little, maybe people would just grumble and move on. But when tick populations are supposedly rising, and you have these strange illnesses rising, and a condition like alpha-gal is becoming part of this big conversation, people start asking, like myself, whether this is really just random and just naturally occurring, or is there more to the story? I personally believe there is more to this tick story than they are letting on, because when you start looking into the history of tick research, that is where things get a little more interesting. One thing that is absolutely true, and I don't know if you know this, but the government studied ticks and other insects during the Cold War era because insects were understood as vectors. So think ticks and fleas and mosquitoes were all looked at through the lens of disease transmission. And once people learned that, they stopped seeing ticks as just a backyard nuisance and start seeing them as something that has been researched much more deeply than most people ever realized. I don't know about you, but we've been hearing about this insect research for a while. And I know the rumblings a few years ago was about the mosquitoes and how they could transmit things. And all I know is 3 years ago, I got two of the craziest mosquito bites I've ever had in my entire life. I've grown up with mosquitoes. I mean, I would have tons of mosquito bites on my legs growing up in the summers. Me and my friends, we'd count, I mean, like 30 mosquito bites per leg. Tons of mosquitoes, all right? So in my life, I have never had mosquito bites like the ones I got a few years ago. I got two mosquito bites and they swelled up the size of a softball. And I remember thinking how weird that is. I've gotten mosquito bites my whole life. They've never swelled up like this. So did I just get delivered something? Did my body have a different kind of response because there's something going on? What is going on in our environment? I thought that was really weird. And I remember at the same time seeing a video, whether it was real or not, but somebody like got a mosquito and it had a little numbered code on it as if it had been numbered in a lab and then released. Of course, this is all just a conspiracy theory. And this ties back into ticks because we know they have done research on them. So then you have names like the Plum Island Animal Disease Center start coming up, especially because of its location near Lyme, Connecticut. You can see why people connect dots when Lyme disease becomes heavily associated with the same general area where a facility tied to animal disease research operated for years. That alone is enough to make people uncomfortable, myself included. I don't know how you feel about that. You can let me know. Then you find out that Congress approved an amendment in 2019 asking the Pentagon to investigate whether ticks and other insects had been experimented with as biological weapons between 1950 and 1975. Again, whether someone thinks anything escaped, whether someone thinks the public got the full story, or whether someone thinks this is all just one big coincidence, that kind of history changes how we hear the word tick. For me, at least, it adds a layer that was not there before when I was growing up and just hiking and, oh, make sure to check for ticks. And personally, I think one reason this whole topic catches fire so fast is because people no longer trust that large institutions fully understand the consequences of their interference, or they do and they don't care. But we have watched humans spray chemicals everywhere, alter landscapes, fragment forests. I mean, I just saw how they're spraying glyphosate on the public forest land, industrialize farming, and then act surprised when the environment starts behaving differently, right? So I feel like we have all these factors going on. We've watched the health problems rise while people are told to ignore the pattern. So when ticks explode and alpha gal cases rise and old government research comes back into public conversation, people are not just reacting to one fact. They're reacting to a pattern of distrust that has been building for years. I mean, did you dive into the Epstein files? I personally do not trust anybody or anything associated with these institutions that are studying anything or going to said islands. And honestly, I feel like what comes out to the public, so whatever technology we're seeing from the government, they're already 20 years advanced from that. Are they going to give us what they're working on right now? I don't believe so. So we are just lagging behind them. So when we find out about their tick research, imagine what they have now. Also, would you be surprised if I told you that Bill Gates is involved in the research on ticks? Because organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have funded research involving cattle ticks and methods of controlling them. That is one of those details that I feel like catches people's attention because it reinforces the bigger feeling that insects, vectors, and ecosystems are constantly being studied, manipulated, and managed by these powerful institutions or figures. And for some people, that is enough to confirm all their worst suspicions. I shared a video on this subject last summer and recently, and I just want you to think for a second. Bill Gates, who has invested millions and millions, tons of money into the fake meat industry. Okay. He wants us to not eat red meat. Okay. He then is now funding the research of ticks in the cattle industry because he wants to help the cattle industry. Does that make any sense? On one hand, he doesn't want us eating meat. On the other hand, you know, he's making sure that the cattle industry is taken care of. Of course, they would never genetically modify a tick that would harm us. They would only genetically modify a tick to protect the cattle industry. Just think about that. At the same time, I do think there is a very real environmental side to this that matters. So you think about ticks, they thrive in imbalance. They do well where ecosystems are disturbed. So you have overgrown land, warm winters, fragmented forests, exploding rodent populations, heavy deer traffic, reduced predator pressure, and poor land management. They all create the ideal conditions for ticks. That is also a part of the story. And honestly, this is where alpha gal becomes even more important to understand in the bigger picture, because it is one thing to have ticks around and another thing entirely for those ticks to be associated with immune reactions that can alter the way people eat, the way they live. And that is why We are not just shrugging this off. I'm not. I feel like it's really weird because alpha-gal just changes that emotional weight of this topic. It takes a growing pest problem and turns it into a conversation about the immune system, food tolerance, inflammation, and whether people's bodies are becoming more fragile in a world that already feels overloaded. And is it possible that there is something else in our environment that is triggering this red meat reaction? Is it the tick bites? Is the tick bite triggering something in our bodies? I feel like we're just getting part of the story. That is where I think homesteading matters so much in this conversation, because the closer you get to the land, the harder it is to ignore the fact that everything is connected and we have become so disconnected. So soil health affects the plant health affects the animal health affects food quality affects human health. And when ecosystems drift out of that natural balance, the signs show up everywhere. Not to mention the everyday pressures we are under with synthetic fragrance, toxic skincare, ultra-processed food where we don't even know what the ingredients are. You have an ingredients list a mile long. You literally do not know what you're eating. The trails in the sky. You know, those contrails that are totally normal. I'm sure it's definitely just moisture up there. We have nothing to be concerned about. The constant bombardment of LED light. I've talked a lot about the effects of LED light. I've done a whole podcast on it. You can go listen. You would be surprised how much our light affects us. So maybe these ticks are just a part of the conversation. One of the most practical responses to the rising tick pressure is to just stop thinking in terms of solutions and start thinking in terms of systems. So we have these older generations. They did not have one magic answer for pests. And honestly, that is part of what made their methods more resilient. They layered strategies. They used animals. They used land management. They used herbs. They used routines. And they were connected to their systems. They were connected to their food. They paid close attention to the patterns on their property and in their yard. That mindset matters because ticks are not usually solved by one product or one trick. They're reduced by making your land or your yard, your animals, and your daily habits less welcoming to them overall. I know there are so many people who are just terrified of ticks. I am getting an influx of messages asking what I do for ticks. So I want to share my experience, what I'm doing on my homestead, and I hope these solutions can work for you wherever you are at. I understand not everybody can keep animals, and in those situations, there still are solutions. My first thing is, though, don't have fear. Fear is such a low frequency, a low vibe. And if you are fearful and you don't want to go outside, then you're going to get less sun. You're going to get less time in a healing environment. And thinking about this, it kind of reminds me of COVID 2020 when we were all told to stay inside, stay out of the sun, stay away from our family, wear masks, and just be in this constant state of fear with this energy that they just feed off of. So put the fear away. You are going to take this situation and you're not going to be scared. You're going to learn how to support your body. You're going to learn how to support your yard, and you are going to bring everything together. One of the best things I have on my homestead is chickens. So anyone who keeps free-range chickens knows they are constantly scratching, pecking, and hunting insects. There's also guinea fowl, which are even more aggressive and are famous for patrolling properties looking for bugs. So wild birds also help too. And I think that is something people often overlook. Encouraging more natural predators and foragers onto land or in your yard makes sense because healthy ecosystems rely on those relationships. The more diversity you can bring back into your yard or your property, the less chance parasites have to completely dominate unchecked. I 100% would recommend chickens to you. If you're listening to this and you can get chickens, get some chickens. Get at least two so they have a friend and they're not lonely. I know there are city regulations and there are HOAs, but if you can get them, do it. They are such a valuable resource to your homestead, not only for ticks, but for food. And they bring you that extra layer of resilience. We are going to need that food reliability in the future. I mean, we honestly need it now. Have you seen the prices at the grocery store? But another thing to consider with ticks is land management. Land management matters just as much because ticks love moisture, brush, leaf litter, dense edges, and neglected areas where they can thrive undisturbed. When sunlight reaches the ground, when airflow improves, and when grass is properly managed, when fence lines are kept cleaner, and when rodent habitat is reduced, the environment becomes less friendly to ticks. So if you're homesteading and have livestock, rotational grazing can help too, because healthier land tends to support more balance overall, even creating a little more distance between wooded edges and the areas you use in your yard can make a huge difference. If ticks are coming in from wild overgrowth, brushy fence lines, stacked wood piles, or damp shaded corners, then part of the solution is making those areas less comfortable for them. Then there are these plant-based approaches that you can take that people have used for generations. Strong herbs and oils like cedarwood, lavender, rosemary, lemongrass, peppermint, eucalyptus, thyme, citronella, and geranium are all commonly used around tick prevention. I recently just planted some lavender, and what's so neat is when you introduce a variety of things onto your homestead, like these plants that help naturally repel, they can also bring variety into your ecosystem and help those pollinators. So my bees, they're going to love the lavender when it blooms, but the lavender can also help keep nasty pests away. You can spray your boots, socks, pant legs, hats, and gear before going out into thicker grass or brush. And a simple homemade spray for hiking gear, or if you're in tall grass, can be made in a 4-ounce spray bottle using about 3 ounces of witch hazel, 1 ounce of distilled water, 10 drops of cedarwood, essential oil, 10 drops of geranium, and 5 drops of rosemary. It's literally that simple, and just shake it well before each use and lightly mist your boots, socks, lower pant legs, backpack straps, and your hat brim about 10 or 15 minutes before heading out. So all the areas that are going to be exposed, especially the shoes and your pant legs. You can also tuck your pant legs into your socks, wear those light colors to see if any ticks are crawling on you. I know there is tick repellent or bug repellent that you can buy at the store that is incredibly toxic. I actually remember years ago when I was little, and we used to use bug spray because we would go out into the woods all the time, the river, whatever. But then my dad did some research and read about DEET. And I still remember that day, my dad telling us all about DEET, and we had to get rid of everything DEET. We even had sunscreen that had DEET in it. And it was a bit of a panic in our household, like so much so that I remember this. I absolutely love using these natural remedies. I use them for myself and my animals, which I will get into a little bit here. And I don't have any problems with creepy crawlies. There are a lot of simple physical strategies people forget about because they are not flashy or the common solution bought at the store. So like colored clothing helps because you can spot those ticks much faster, like I said, as they attach to you. Tall boots and tall socks matter because ticks usually climb upward from the grass or the brush. They're just waiting and dangling. And then when you walk by, they grab onto you. So tucking pants into socks may not look great, but it works. It also helps to have a routine for outdoor clothes, so you're not dragging whatever was in the pasture or the woods into your home. You can keep a basket or bench by the door for boots and chore clothes or your hiking clothes, so you can strip those off before going inside. I like that idea. You can put them in the basket and then straight to the washer. So these simple routines matter. So showering after being outside, changing your clothes quickly, doing tick checks, checking your pets, keeping outdoor boots separate, and paying attention after time in brush or tall grass or you're out in the woods. These are effective measures. And a lot of people get into trouble not because they did not know what to do, but because they only did it once in a while. Preparedness is usually not about one dramatic action. It is about consistency. And I love preparedness, and this has worked for me. And so for pets and livestock, it helps to think in terms of their environment too, not just the animal itself. So keep their bedding dry and clean, reduce damp corners and brushy areas around their kennels, coops, barns, and their sheds. So keep the grass shorter around places where animals rest or move through constantly. So make sure to check their ears, neck folds, underbellies, tails, and legs often, because ticks love those hidden warm spots. And I discuss in depth different flea and tick solutions on my podcast about natural solutions for pets. So if you want to learn more in depth about pets and how natural pest prevention works for them, you can give that a listen. I'll have it linked in the show notes for you. So for pet bedding, one of the easiest things you can do is use a removable, washable cover. Wash it often in hot water, dry it thoroughly, and keep the bedding away from those damp corners again, clutter, or brushy doorways where pests tend to gather. So not only is this going to help you with ticks, but it's also going to help you with fleas. I know those are a common nuisance for a lot of pet owners. Rodent control is another piece people underestimate. Mice and other small mammals are part of the tick cycle. So if a property is full of easy rodent habitat, ticks are going to have more opportunities to spread and thrive, along with fleas. So feed spills, junk piles, stacked debris, those cluttered sheds, and low brush near buildings all create hiding places. So cleaning those areas up, storing feed more securely, you know, those garbage bins, and keeping the immediate surroundings of your home and animal areas less attractive to rodents can make a real difference over time. I also think it matters to talk about strengthening the body. Like I said, this is a full circle. This is a whole environment thing coming together, because modern life is hard on people. The poor sleep, again, the processed food, constant stress, lack of sunlight, mineral depletion, the sedentary living, and the chronic inflammation, those all add up. So a body that is well nourished and supported is better equipped to handle stressors, better equipped to handle that tick bite. So that matters in every area of life. And it matters here with those tick bites, as crazy as that sounds. Sunlight matters, movement matters, rest matters. When people are already run down, everything tends to hit harder. Ask yourself, if two people get bit by the same tick, but one person is eating the ultra processed food, they're sedentary, they're under the LED lights all the time, they're never getting movement, they're slamming sodas every single day, energy drinks, are they going to have a harder time with that tick bite as compared hypothetically to someone who is out in the sun, they're getting movement, they're doing all of those things to keep their body in balance? I personally think that person who is in tune with themselves, who is honoring their body and is connected to their body and their environment, is going to be a lot better off. Of course, everybody's different, but for me personally, when you stop, again, being disconnected from your food, the environment, your whole life shifts. And I have experienced that. When I take a step back from all of this tick panic, I do not think the answer is to have fear. And I do not think pretending nothing strange is happening is the answer either. I think the answer is awareness paired with action. Learn the history, like what's going on, what were they studying? Ask those questions, notice the patterns, but also take responsibility of your yard, your habits, your animals, your health, and the way you move through the natural world. Because it really seems like the tick pressure is rising. Alpha Gal has made this conversation much more serious for many people. And something about the relationship between humans, health, and nature feels increasingly out of balance. And it also feels like every few years we're hit with something where we get this fear, this collective fear to stay inside. So maybe the deeper lesson here is that modern society has spent so much time trying to control nature and control the narrative that it forgot how to listen to it. We forgot how to listen to our bodies. We forgot how to listen to the system. And we shouldn't be blindly trusting any government system to take care of us. Again, did you read the Epstein files? I don't trust any of them. Maybe that is why so many people are being drawn back to homesteading and gardening, animal husbandry, herbalism and preparedness, because deep down, people know they need something more grounded than the systems they have been told to depend on. They want to understand the world around them again. They want to feel capable. They want to build resilience instead of waiting for someone else to solve everything. And personally, that's been a large part of my journey, is just becoming resilient. And honestly, I think that might be the most useful place to land with this topic. It's not in that paralysis, not in blind trust, not in fear, but in careful observation, practical preparation, and a willingness to reconnect with the natural systems humans drifted away from in the first place, and to understand there are other things at bat, like a billionaire who is investing in the cattle tick industry, while at the same time also investing in you not eating meat. So once you understand the full picture and can take a step back, not have fear, then you can start applying things into your life and you can still go outside and enjoy yourself. I hope that you enjoyed listening to this and that this was helpful. And now you can apply some of these steps into your homestead wherever you are at to make you feel more safe and to know you don't have to live in fear about becoming potentially allergic to red meat. So get outside and even ground barefoot if you can. Get some sunshine and just feel good. Find some happiness. Don't buy into the panic. And I hope you have an amazing day, and I will see you next time.